Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Speedy Trials and State Delay Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 14, 2013, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Boyer v. Louisiana. The question in this case is whether, when a criminal death penalty trial is delayed due to a state's failure to fund defense counsel, that delay should count against the state in a subsequent speedy trial analysis. To discuss the case, we have Amy Moore, who is an associate professor of law at Belmont University College of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Moore.
The oral arguments for this case may be best known in the future, not for their merits, but the fact that Justice Thomas broke his silence to make what seems to be, from all accounts, a crack about Yale-educated lawyers, of which he is one. The transcript is a bit spotty on this point, and no one seems to know for sure exactly what was said, except for the justices. Unfortunately, that doesn't help us really understand what's happening in what Justice Alito termed an incredibly factually complicated case about the constitutional right to a speedy trial. To get into those facts just a little bit, in 2002, Jonathan Boyer was arrested and charged in Louisiana with first-degree murder, a capital crime. As an indigent defendant, the court appointed counsel for him. Procedural rules in Louisiana entitled him to two lawyers when facing conviction of a capital crime, although such a thing is not constitutionally required. There are several other states that follow this practice as well. Due to a series of events, there was not money to pay for his full representation in this capital crime. In 2005, Mr. Boyer filed a motion to quash the original indictment due to a violation of his statutory and constitutional speedy trial rights. Mr. Boyer later dismissed this motion because, according to him, there was no funding to mount a case showing prejudice, which was required under Louisiana law. In other words, he couldn't even fund a motion about the lack of funding leading to the constitutional violation. In 2007, the state reduced the charge from first-degree murder to second-degree murder and armed robbery. This removed the capital charge and removed the obstacle of lack of funding. Trial commenced in September of 2009, and Mr. Boyer was convicted. On appeal, he argued that his Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial had been violated by the more than 7-year delay between his arrest and trial. Mr. Boyer contended that the delay in funding his defense should be attributed to the state under Barker v. Wingo. The state countered that the funding situation was beyond its control and should not weigh against it. The Louisiana Third Circuit Court of Appeals held that the length of the delay was presumptively prejudicial and that but for the lack of funding, the case would have proceeded in a timely manner. However, the court found that this lack of funding was out of the state's control and did not count against the state. It also found that Mr. Boyer's assertion of his right to a speedy trial was more perfunctory than aggressive. Therefore, no valid constitutional claim could be made. The Louisiana Appellate Court then denied Mr. Boyer's appeal, and the Louisiana Supreme Court denied to hear the case. Mr. Boyer then appealed to the United States Supreme Court, who did grant certiorari. The question presented could have been worded to be simpler, whether a state's failure to fund counsel for an indigent defendant should be weighed against the state for speedy trial purposes. However, the certified question adds an additional layer of complexity by asking whether this weight should be particularly heavy in light of the fact that the failure to provide funding was the direct result of the prosecution's choice to seek the death penalty. These questions become intertwined under the Barker v. Wingo factors, the ultimate question being whose fault is it for the delay, the defendant or the state? Mr. Boyer argues the lack of funding and the choice to prosecute him as a capital defendant are both attributable to the state and that these decisions caused the delay. To back up a bit, the Supreme Court in Barker v. Wingo analyzes the right to a speedy trial and says that, quote, any inquiry into a speedy trial claim necessitates a functional analysis of the right in the particular context of the case, end quote. This seems to offer a very specific case-by-case analysis, which opened the court up to many detailed questions during oral arguments in Boyer. The court in Barker offers 4 factors to consider when analyzing delay: the length of the delay, the reason for delay, the defendant's assertion of his right, and the prejudice toward the defendant as a result of the delay. All of these factors are weighed together in a balancing test with any other relevant circumstances to determine whether a constitutional violation has occurred. Part of this balancing test is an assessment of what caused the delay and analysis of whether the government or the criminal defendant is more to blame for the delay. As I said before, the real arguments in this case seem to be around the reason for the delay. The secondary argument is about the ends to which Mr. Boyer asserted his constitutional rights. To the first point, the reason for delay. Both sides agree the main reason for delay in this case was a lack of funding. However, whether that lack of funding should be counted against the state is what is up for debate. Mr. Boyer argues the delay was caused by a systemic breakdown, something which could weigh against the state according to the Supreme Court's ruling in Vermont v. Brillen. He argues that the delay counting against the state is not limited only to things within the control of the local authority. The state conversely argues that Hurricanes Katrina and Rita impacted its ability to fund indigent defendants at a time in which the funding system was already troubled. The state wants to argue it makes a big difference whether the delay from the lack of funding is mere negligence or a deliberate attempt to evade constitutional requirements. Further, the state wants to blame Mr. Boyer's own counsel for part of the delay and the ultimate lack of funding. To the second point, Mr. Boyer's assertion of his right to a speedy trial. Mr. Boyer did not move for a speedy trial because, according to his argument, he could not do so under Louisiana law without having an affidavit that he was ready to go. Because he was not ready to go, due to a lack of funding, he raised this claim for the first time in 2005, the first time he was procedurally allowed to do so via a motion to quash the indictment due to lack of a speedy trial. So his argument is that procedurally he could not move for a speedy trial. He could only move to get rid of the indictment for lack of a speedy trial after time had passed. The sticking point, or what makes this case more complicated, is that independent of whether the lack of funding is to be weighed against a state, mitigated by excuses like natural disasters, was that lack of funding only became a problem because the state chose to pursue Mr. Boyer for a capital crime and invoked the possibility of the death penalty. That's what helps to narrow the question before the court if they choose to go that route. It's clear from the arguments that Mr. Boyer did not have the proper funding to proceed to trial. It is unclear whether this funding was purely for an additional counsel, or rather for counsel in addition to the investigation of the case. This seemed to be of some interest to the panel, given the added wrinkle of Louisiana law that seemed to require extra certification and extra counsel in the area of capital cases. Justice Scalia put it this way, that Mr. Boyer had a choice, although he may not have understood this choice, to proceed to trial with just one constitutionally sufficient lawyer, or to sacrifice his right to a speedy trial and wait on more or more qualified lawyers to be provided by the state. However, Mr. Boyer argued again the funding issue was not only about paying counsel, but also investigating his case and retaining experts to testify. Justice Kennedy and Justice Alito both give voice to a possible rule the court might adopt. The state should be responsible when the funding problem is at a local level. That is, to some degree, a delay due to lack of funding should be weighed against the state. That doesn't answer the entire certified question as to the contours of this weight. For example, does pursuing a capital case that cannot be funded mean that the lack of funding weighs heavier on the state as a whole? The Louisiana Appellate Court had held the state was not responsible for the lack of funding in this case. When presented with this holding, the Supreme Court has a few options. First, it can determine that Barker v. Wingo was correctly applied and there is no issue here. There doesn't seem to be much support for this position other than Justice Scalia's incredulity at a Sixth Amendment problem in this case. However, even if this factor was incorrectly analyzed by the court below, the holding might still be found to be correct. That is the second choice before the court. The court might determine that this one factor from Barker v. Wingo, that is the reason for the delay, was incorrectly applied, and states should have it weigh against them when they cannot fund cases. The court could then also analyze whether the incorrect weight of that factor jeopardized the analysis of the entire appellate holding. There does seem to be support for the idea that this factor was incorrectly applied to some degree by the Louisiana court. This type of conclusion would provide a few options. Either the court can give remand on just fact and tell the appellate court to reweigh the Barker factors in light of this clarification, or the court could give more guidance as to how the lack of funding might need to be weighed in cases such as these. The second option would allow the court to provide more commentary on the specific facts in this case. With America currently facing a severe economic crisis, lack of funding for indigent defendants across the nation might make determination of the issues in Boyer all the more critical.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.